Evidence and Answers begins right now. This is Evidence and Answers radio broadcast with our host, Pat Zukran. Pat is an author, teacher, and international speaker in the area of Christian apologetics, the defense of the Christian faith. What is apologetics? And how did Jesus model it perfectly? Dr. Holden and Dr. Zukran unpack the tools Jesus used, testimony, reason, and evidence, and explain how these form the foundation of our modern defense of the faith. Their insights encourage believers to be equipped to engage the culture with clarity, confidence, and conviction. If you've missed any part of this broadcast, log on at evidenceandanswers.org, and there you will find this discussion entitled Jesus, the Ultimate Apologist, which is show one from Paratus, a podcast from Veritas International. And you'll find hundreds more podcasts that you may download or listen online. Now let's get right into the conclusion of this fascinating discussion.
Joe, we're going to now move to you. Pat kind of gave us the introduction, if you will, to Jesus's use of witnesses or testimony. And though Jesus is perfect in his methodology, he's without fault in how he goes about doing what he did. We're not. Human beings will fail and we will fall at various times in our task, apologetics task. So my question to you is, what is it we as human, not divine, what is it we want to accomplish by using apologetics?
Well, I think that we need to remind ourselves of the apologetic task. And the task is to make a clear presentation to the unbeliever so they can arrive at the conclusion that Christianity is true. And we accomplish this task usually by going through three steps. Now, make no doubt about it, we're always to give the gospel first. That is something that has to come out of our mouth to those who are unsaved, presenting the fact that Christ died on the cross for our sins, something that we could never do for ourselves. He was buried and he rose again on the third day and ascended into heaven. That is the gospel message encapsulated, and that's what we should be presenting. But along the way, people are going to have questions. People don't always accept the gospel. Sometimes they outright reject it, and that is simply evidence that their worldview is not completely either unfamiliar with the gospel and the evidence that supports the gospel message, or something is wrong along the way. And so these three steps that the apologetic task can draw upon are the philosophical foundations, the theological foundations, and the evidential foundations of an individual. And the philosophical foundation should be the first thing we should address. There could be some problems in their worldview that hinders them from understanding the truth. In other words, do they believe in absolutes? Do they believe that truth is absolute? Do they believe in the laws of logic? This is the very basic first principles that undergird any particular worldview. And here is where we address what we call undeniable first principles. See, the believer in Christ wants to make it clear to the unbeliever that they cannot deny logic. To deny logic employs logic to deny it. And so we call it undeniable. Truth, if you try to deny truth, you actually affirm truth. By saying there is no truth is offering a truth about the nature of truth. So it's self-defeating to deny it. Or absolutes. There are no absolutes. Well, we just have to ask, is that an absolute about absolutes? Again, it's undeniable. We cannot deny our own existence. To deny your own existence here in this world would assume that you exist in order to deny your own existence. So it's self-defeating to deny your own existence. And if these things are undeniable, every worldview has to account for them. They have to be embedded and held in a worldview of any individual. This isn't just Christianese we're talking about. These are the first principles of reality, of logic, of truth, of thought that have to be embedded in all worldviews. Once we establish that, we go to the second step, which is theological foundations. And this is where we look at the reasons for God's existence. We address the problem of evil as well. If God exists, why is there evil in the world? People may have hang-ups in these two distinct and important subjects or topics. Is God real? And why is evil present? And then after we address those issues, we go to the third step and we present evidence or tangible material items to support and offer a convincing argument for the Christian faith. And I'm talking about manuscripts, historical documents, artifacts from archaeology, going into biology and science and astronomy to look at the tangible evidence that supports the Christian worldview. And if people are thinking correctly in any one of these three, it's going to be more likely that they'll receive the truthfulness of Christianity and the gospel message. So again, it's not like we go through these three points of philosophy and theology and then evidence, but before we present the evidence, we got to make sure that people are interpreting the evidence correctly. You see, evidence doesn't come with an instruction manual to tell you how it should be understood. That's provided through your interpretive framework called a worldview. So the classical approach truly embraces the worldview questions and then introduces the evidence at the appropriate time. And anybody who rejects the gospel, Brian, ultimately they have a question that is not answered correctly for them, or that they have come to a conclusion that simply is hindering them from understanding the truth. And of course, through all this, the Holy Spirit is involved, illuminating, moving the heart of persuasion, and moving to bring them closer to the Lord and acceptance of the gospel.
So good. And you know, Joe, I've enrolled myself in the D-Men program at Veritas, and I'm doing reading in some of the courses. And in one of the books, Peter Kreeft, who is an apologist and philosopher as well, he's talking about how difficult it is to really address the philosophical elements that you pointed out, because people in a relativistic society are denying truth. They are denying absolutes. They are denying the use of logic. But as you pointed out, that if we just lovingly show the person that what they're saying is self-refuting, to say there's no truth is making a truth statement. To say there's no absolutes is making an absolute statement. And so it really is, you know, important for Christians to understand these basic tasks for us, particularly in our modern world, because so many people deny even what 20, 30, 40 years ago. Joe, I go back to 20 years ago when 25 years ago, back when we were in Southern California together, and just how things have changed. Now, we forecasted it. We could look forward and go, boy, it's going to get pretty bad, but it's getting pretty bad. You know, we're at that point where people now are confused about simple things, you know, their identity, their biology, and so on and so forth. So just maybe really, really quickly, give us some pointers on how to really use these logic, truth, and absolutes, these first part of philosophy, or maybe recommend a book for our listeners.
Well, in common conversation, what we have with unbelievers every day, and if we're presenting the gospel, I think the key is to be a good listener. And it might be that they don't have problems, or they have come to correct conclusions on some of these areas within these three levels of discussion. You don't have to go methodically through 1, 2, and 3 to accomplish this apologetic task. You can just be a good listener and find out, oh, that's where they seem to be stuck, and address that particular issue. But I think logic, truth, absolutes, even our own existence, as I've mentioned, are all fundamentals of everybody's life. Everybody speaks around the world this language called logic, and they make truth statements, whether they're true or untrue. That's the communication that the Lord has wired the earth to engage in. And so what we're doing is talking about things that are common to all people. And truth is common, logic is common, our very existence is common, absolutes are common, even the relativist. I think if we can point to the absurdity of relativism, to say all truth is relative is actually offering an absolute truth about the relativity of truth. So nobody wants to hold a self-defeating concept. Nobody wants to be in a self-defeating worldview. But I think that some people, it just has to be spelled out for them and highlighted for them so they can see with their own eyes the logical inconsistency that they're living with. And then once they see that through the help of the Holy Spirit opening their eyes, they certainly can be a candidate for embracing the gospel. But I think the point is being available to be used. Yeah. It's not about ability per se. It's about the availability of somebody to simply discuss these issues with the unbeliever.
And I appreciate, Joe, that you said to sit down and listen, because what listening does is it shows you care. It shows you care about them as a human being and want to know about them and their understanding. And then lovingly offer counterparts. You know, when it comes to truth or logic and such, I'll use things such as the legal world or financial world, because when people say, well, there is no truth, or, you know, there's no logic, I'll say, you do really mean that? I mean, when you put $100 in the bank and you go back and to withdraw your $100 and they only give you 50 and said, well, your truth was you put 100, our truth is you only gave 50. I said, you know, there, you've really got to think through
that's right.
The principles that you're espousing, because they do have ramifications. So good, Joe. That was good. Thanks for clarifying that a little bit more for our audience. Well, Patrick, kind of on the same line, kind of when I asked Joe, you know, the apologetic task, and he gave, you know, the philosophical, theological, and evidential, how do you see apologetics playing the role apologetics can play in our world? You know, you eloquently, you know, started giving us, you know, how Jesus used apologetics, but what is kind of our role as apologists in engaging the world? Because you, as part of your organization, not only were both you and Joe schooled under Dr. Geisler, but you guys have really made ministries as apologists, working apologists with your Evidence and Answers organization and conferences and speaking around the world. So as an apologist, Pat, how do you engage the world for Christ?
Yeah, Paul Copan writes in his book that three things every ministry has got to be able to do well. And Joe also mentioned these earlier, but you've got to be able to proclaim the gospel, you know, in a clear and compelling, relevant way so the unbeliever will listen. But number two, you've got to be able to defend the gospel. You've got to be able to defend that message you're proclaiming. I mean, if you're going to say Jesus is the only way to eternal life, believe me, you're going to get some pushback, okay? If you say Jesus Christ is the one and only Son of God, you're going to get a lot of pushback there. And third, you have to live out the message, not perfectly, but consistently. You have to be able to do those three. And it seems like the majority of the church today, not at all, but a lot, have forgotten number two, you know, that you need to defend the gospel that you're proclaiming here. And we're in a post-Christian culture. We've been in a post-Christian culture for quite a while here in the West. And so in a post-Christian culture, it's not enough just to share the gospel. You're going to have to give people good reasons why they should take you seriously. Christianity is seen as irrelevant, a hateful kind of worldview, one of irrelevant religion of ages past that has been, you know, debunked by theories like evolution and higher criticism and things. So you know, and Paul writes in 2 Corinthians 10:5, we demolish all arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God and take every thought captive in obedience to Christ. So a lot of times you're going to have to demolish these arguments or false ideas people have before they'll listen to your gospel presentation seriously. So a lot in our post-Christian culture today, we have to do what's called pre-evangelism. And that's where apologetics comes in. It softens the hard soil so that when the gospel message is presented, you know, the person is more receptive. And so often in pre-evangelism, we do what Greg Coco likes to say, put the pebble in the shoe, you know, really give the person something to think about. Like Joe mentioned, you know, show the person the self-contradictory nature of their particular position, like a relativist. There's no such thing as absolutes. Well, isn't that an absolute? And you kind of rock their world there, and you give them something to think about. And perhaps when you meet them again, or the next person that comes along, the soil is going to be softer for the presentation of the gospel. And so apologetics is absolutely essential in our world today. You know, Christianity being an all-embracing worldview. I mean, if you're in the political arena and you're stating, you know, your pro-life position, people are going to be saying, well, why should we be pro-life? Well, the Bible says, well, what makes the Bible right? Or here in Hawaii, you know, we're one of the first states to pass gay marriage and change the definition of marriage. And then we say, well, marriage is between a man and a woman. Well, why? Times have changed, man. Get with it. You're going to have to make a defense. And so apologetics is absolutely key in our post-Christian culture today.
Mm-hmm. And hence why we're bending over backwards to offer approachable material and information for our listening audience. We want people to be equipped with this. And not everyone, you know, has the finances or even time to really dig into it. So we have experts like Dr. Holden, Dr. Zucker on who could come on and really help you. We do want to point out, though, that Veritas International University does have a certificate program in apologetics. And this is a much more affordable program. And you really get the basics of what the apologetics task, the key components. And so though you wouldn't be able to maybe go to graduate school, though we would highly recommend those interested to go to graduate school or get their BA in apologetics, one way any listener could engage in the apologetics task, because both Pat and Joe underscored this amazingly, is that this is the reality of our new world. We need to be equipped to be able to proclaim, to defend, to live out philosophically, theologically, and evidentially. So Joe, maybe just take these last couple of minutes before we get into our books to explain what someone would be exposed to in the Certificate of Apologetics at Veritas.
Sure, Brian. You know, we have this 5 courses, 5 textbooks, 5 classes that you can take at Veritas to get your feet wet and to equip yourself in apologetics. The classes are taught by Norman Geisler in a pre-recorded format, by Dr. Ron Rhodes, one of the leading experts in the cults and evangelizing the cults, and Dr. Wynn Cordwin, who is one of the leading experts in world religions. You can take 5 courses, take 5 exams with 5 textbooks, and get a certificate when you're finished. But in these courses, you're going to learn all about what apologetics is, when we use it, how to use it, what are the strengths and weaknesses of different approaches. And you're going to look at how to share the faith with the cults, especially the Jehovah's Witnesses and the Mormons. And this little certificate program, it's little because it's quickly achievable, but it is packed with all kinds of nuggets that an individual can learn from. And that can be finished at your own pace. It is very affordable. I believe it's about $250. And you can even have advanced standing when it comes to assignments that can be due if you end up pursuing a graduate degree or a degree at Veritas. We'll take some of those assignments that you did and actually give you credit in your four-credit degree program for that. So we've had many people jump into this. They have said marvelous things about it. And it's open to everybody. You don't have to have a degree and you don't have to have any previous training. This is something that everybody can achieve.
And in our day and age, it's essential. Yes. Again, I am just so looking forward to this new series with both you, Pat, and Joe. But I just want to underscore to all of our listeners the importance of being equipped with basic apologetic skills, because our world is really moving at a fast pace away from biblical principles. So good. Thanks for that, Joe. Well, as with all our episodes, we encourage our listeners to dig deeper into the topics that we discussed. And of course, at the top of the hour, I recommended Pat's book, The Apologetics of Jesus, and Joe's book on the Harvest Handbook of Apologetics. So those are two essential books that you're going to be hearing a lot as we go through this new series. But Pat, on top of that, are there any other books that you would recommend, either, you know, for the apologetics task, or maybe even where you brought out the witnesses that Jesus used to really showcase his life and ministry? What books would you recommend for our listeners?
Yeah, well, you know, on the popular level, Dr. Geisler and Frank Turek wrote a great book, I Don't Have Enough Faith to Be an Atheist. That's a great place to start. The books of Lee Strobel are outstanding place to start. If you want to get a little more advanced, Dr. Geisler's book, Christian Apologetics, is a classic there, where he goes through the worldviews and then presents his case. A book sitting here on my shelf is from our good friend, Dr. Gary Habermas. He is the top man on the resurrection. So anything about the resurrection, and we all, you know, even the great Joe Holden, refers to Gary Habermas when we're talking about the resurrection. So those are some great authors that I would recommend.
Yeah, good. And just a reminder to our listeners, you're going to be hearing a lot of these books over and over again. And as we go through this series, that's because they're very, very good books. They've really touched and helped a lot of people. So you're going to hear Geisler, you're going to hear Strobel, you're going to hear Turek, you're going to hear Holden, you're going to hear others who really have spent a lot of time and energy thinking through these. But Joe, being that you're one of those top apologists, what books would you recommend for someone who's getting started in this?
Well, somebody who wants something very easy to understand, and it's hot off the press, is my latest book called, and I wrote this with Sarah Enterline, my co-author, A Visual Guide of Apologetics, of Biblical Apologetics. And it is illustrated, it has graphics, it is built in such a way to make it easy to understand all those key points of apologetics and many of those things which we spoke about today. And then, of course, if you want something a little more meaty, Norman Geisler wrote the Christian Apologetics book, his Baker's Encyclopedia of Christian Apologetics, and I think it's under a new title today, Apologetics from A to Z, by Norman Geisler. Excellent reference book to pick up. But I really want to encourage you to pick up The Apologetics of Jesus, written by Pat Zukeran and Norman Geisler. That is a very, very unique book. Like Pat said in the early parts of the program today, that nobody really tackled Jesus, the greatest apologist of all time, and how he used testimony and how he used truth and how he used miracles to make a convincing case for Christianity. So I give my highest recommendation to that book.
Come to a close. Be sure to join us again here on Evidence and Answers. Our goal is to bring you the love of Christ and to equip you in your faith to always be ready to give a response. If you would like to hold an apologetics conference or series of teachings at your facility, contact Pat by calling him in Hawaii. That number there is 483-0586, or email him through the Evidence and Answers website. That's evidenceandanswers.org. Be sure to browse through our listing of topics on our site. We have everything from atheism to Zen Buddhism. You will also find articles and additional audio for you to listen to or download. An additional location to find Pat's messages is on YouTube. Look up Evidence and Answers and hit that subscribe button. To keep quality broadcasts like Pat's on the air, we rely on generous financial support from you, our listeners. Donating is simple. Once again, log on at evidenceandanswers.org. Evidence and Answers is grateful for one of our sponsors, the Honolulu Christian Church. If you don't have a home church and are looking for a great place to grow in your faith, check out the Honolulu Christian Church. For service times, log in at honoluluchristian.org. Join us again next time on the air or online as we provide compelling reasons for faith in Christ. That's Evidence and Answers with Pat Zukeran.